2021 at Universal Studios at Universal Orlando Resort.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Smart Clock Podcast is back once again. It doesn't bother me. I'm sure it bothers a lot of the 15-year-old marks on Twitter and Facebook.
Well, how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
34 Boulevard Road. I don't know where I am. I'm so lost and afraid and alone. You can see Vince's greasy little fingerprints all over this segment.
This has turned into nothing more than a handicap match!
I don't respect you, Dexter, and I intend to beat you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Week in the Universe Part 1. I am your host, Amiro Zanetti, and joining me as ever to discuss Red Brand of Raw is Steve Neal.
Oh, Raw me.
No.
always going safe.
Just absolutely not. And if you're listening, Carl, you know all about Raw, don't you? Oh, yeah. It's coming, bitch. It's coming. Steve Neal, are you ready to discuss Raw?
Oh, yeah.
This is my yard now.
Raw this week was highly eventful, actually. I was very impressed with Raw as an overall concept. A lot of stuff to get our teeth into. I was getting very excited because it was the return of The Miz. We had Balor Club, which is in full effect. But most of all, let's talk about some severely interesting scenes involving a grappling hook as Braun Strowman brings down the set and ruins Kane and Brock Lesnar. Do you like the stunt that was involved with him bringing down the set, even if it was a bit ridiculous? Although this is wrestling where we allow this kind of behavior. And most of all, does this get you more reinvested in a triple threat going into the Royal Rumble?
No, to your second part of that question, at all. Nothing will get me invested in this match at all. It's going to be absolutely shit. As for the... it was an enjoyable stunt. It was cool. It was the kind of thing that WWE do well. I think over the last couple of weeks, everyone's kind of starting to get their indie fever on post kind of Wrestle Kingdom and all the NJPW, New Year's Dash and all that. So everyone's been very much into what's going on over here. And so that's very much Braun going, look at me. They will not do this in NJPW. I am Indiana Strowman with this grappling hook.
Indiana Strowman. Amazing. Yes.
He's just, Braun is just the MVP of Raw at the minute, really. As much as having The Miz back is glorious, of course. But, you know he's always going to be involved in something carny and ridiculous and dramatic and over the top, and just one of those things we sit there and just go, yeah, that was pretty cool. And that's what it was. Plus you've got Paul Heyman selling it on the sidelines like, oh my god, no, like fucking Woody Allen on steroids and fucking Krispy Kreme. He's just it was good. It was
that combination.
It was a really good, cool, WWE moment. Starting 2018 off in the right way. It will get some people more interested in the rivalry, I'm sure. But this is always going to be a very spot-filled build-up because the match is going to stink. And these guys are all stunty-type people, really. The match was still suck balls. The absolute teabagging shit everywhere, literally like going down on a woman with razor blades for labias. Labias.
Hello.
Teeth too. shaving yourself while going down. Thank you. Trim me. But it is, I've got no interest in the match. However, this was a very, very cool spot. And if they're going to crack stupid stunts out like this every week, sweet. Keep doing that kind of shit. I'm not going to enjoy and probably fast forward through, if possible, the match at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, Triple Threat has absolutely no interest for me, don't care. But this stunt, a lot of times when WWE does stunts, they can be a bit carny or a bit bollocks, or it just rehashes of things like going through the ring, exploding the ring, like they have done with Braun Strowman already. But they've also done some amazing stuff with Strowman. Case in point, the brawl with Roman Reigns, where he shoved him off the fucking monster ambulance bay on the stretcher and sent him flying. It was clearly a dummy, but nobody cares. It's carny done right. And this was another one in Braun's lock. You know, once again, Braun Strowman, you know, Kane and Brock Lesnar, they're brawling. Nobody gives a fuck. Nobody cares. One guy's old and irrelevant and frankly shouldn't be in the main event. And the other guy's simply not here that much. And he's frankly a lazy gas bag piece of shit. So Braun Strowman comes steamrolling in, immediately livens the segment, excites you, gets you. Braun Strowman straddles the line between destructive force and carny lunatic so beautifully. He seems to be involved in crazy stunts all the time, whether it be ambulances, ambulance bays. He's done the fucking ring job, the cell stuff, you know, the cage matches. He literally can do everything. He's so versatile for a man of his size. And just further enforces why so many people voted for him as our breakout star of the year, yourself included. He is actually magnificent. He really is the shining light of a Raw brand that has frankly been a bit mediocre. But to its credit, Raw this week certainly laid great plans down for excellent rivalries going forward. The Bar and Finn Balor excite me no end. I'm so excited because I've always loved the club, especially not the Bar, excuse me, the club. You know, the club and Finn Balor, it's basically Balor Club. And the club are probably, well, let's be honest, these three guys are the most underutilized talents of 2017. You want to talk about balls dropped? Well, frankly, aside from poor old Big Cass's balls dropping when you suggested that he sounded like a small child being fingered or a small girl being fingered, the reality is these guys are the biggest balls dropped to 2017. If there was probably a fuck up of the year of 2017, it was the mishandling of Finn Balor in the club. And obviously somebody has said, excuse me, guys, we happen to have three of the most credible and dangerous indie talent slash wrestlers on the entire roster. Might be worth using them, and to great effect, as they knock off the temporary shield that is Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Jason Jordan. Champions Club. Jason Jordan has been blowing hot and cold with this gimmick. He's struggled at times. He's also been fairly good at times. I think we're both in agreement, as we said beforehand. This is Jason Jordan's coming out party this week. I thought he was tremendously funny, tremendously infuriating, annoying, but executed his character perfectly. So, you know, we've got the club and Finn Balor, who are finally flourishing and look like they're heading in the right direction with a big key win going into this year. And we've also got the kind of Jason Jordan who thinks he's a member of the Shield. Like, we're all champions, guys. We're all friends here. And it's like, you dickhole. there's a lot of layers to the rivalry. And of course, at the end, we also had the returning Miz, who had a, you know, reasonably good promo with a Mr. Raj, showing what people basically, reminding people of what he's like. We also had him assault Roman Reigns afterwards. So it looks like we're going to renew the Miz versus Roman Reigns for the IC title. We could be going down the route of Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan versus the club. That excites me tremendously as well. What would you like to see going forward? And most of all, what do you think about the use of everybody involved in this segment and the main event of the show?
I've really enjoyed it, actually. As you say, having the Balor Club is awesome. It's great to get these guys out there doing what they do best. Finn Balor looks like he's having a fucking whale of a time right now. He knows
a smile on his face.
Yeah, lovely. I know I'm not booked in the position that I should be in, but at least I get to hang out with two of my best mates and just do what we do best. Go out there, put on good matches, have good segments, be entertaining. Like, the club are just genuinely hilarious people. Both of them are hilarious. So it's just fantastic to have them in a position, in a segment, you know, given segments on the show where they can just be funny and entertaining. You know, I've got a really hot Asian wife, right? Yeah, I do. Hey, that's great. It's just classic carny bollocks and good old-fashioned comedy. As you said, Jason Jordan, I really enjoyed him. It's like they figured out, you know what, everyone's irritated by him. Or maybe they built it so that he's irritating everyone intentionally. One or the other. He's a bit of a tool. He's a bit of a dick. That's what everyone looks at him and sees. Let's just take advantage of that. And it's funny, the interactions with Seth Rollins, you know, Roman Reigns, the reactions they have every time he opens his mouth of them just cringing. It's brilliant. I really, really enjoyed it. Jason Jordan is knocking it out of the park. He's being really helped being alongside a Seth Rollins and a Roman Reigns to help get him over and give him a better platform. Great to be opposite the club. As you say, I'm all for another Miz Roman Reigns kind of rematch. I think that's happening. That's maybe the kind of headline match at Raw 25 that we have at the moment, is the rematch for the IC title. And we're maybe heading, as you say, down the club versus Jordan and Rollins angle. Possibly seeing the titles maybe switch to the club would make more sense and lead to a Rollins-Jason Jordan rivalry, which would be an excellent wrestling rivalry, which we've already seen in small parts. But all of that is great, but it leaves Finn Balor kind of still standing there being like, so guys, you know, Gallows and Anderson are getting to run off and do their thing. They're getting to go and have matches for tag titles. Roman Reigns is locked up with The Miz. I'll just stand over here, guys. You just, you know, so I'm hoping with all of this, you know, as you say, the tag team title rivalry leading in, the fact that we're going to get Reigns Miz, I hope they don't drop the ball again with Finn Balor and keep him involved and active and in a good spot that he should be in. Hopefully, you know, a rivalry with Roman Reigns for the IC title after we've had kind of the resolution of The Miz, you know, in his rematch at Raw 25 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I love the use of Finn Balor and the club first and foremost, simply because it's something we've been screaming about. When the club first signed to WWE, I was so thrilled because I'd watched them extensively in NJPW. I loved their run in the Bullet Club when there was AJ Styles there as well. You know, there was a real emphasis on the fact that they had signed these four guys, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, and the club. AJ Styles has panned out incredibly. Shinsuke Nakamura has not panned out at all. And the club just haven't had an opportunity. They were given a very brief tag title run at the very beginning of this year when they knocked off, I believe it was the Bar, to the Royal Rumble. And then they were basically treated like jobbers for the rest of the year. And through the back, let's be honest, the last 6 to 7 months of 2017 literally did nothing. And I mean nothing of note. They were barely on TV for a large portion of that, despite the fact that there was a severe lack of tag team talent and strength throughout this roster. And the reality is WWE are fucking Inuits and drop the ball. And like you say, the humor involved in these two guys. I remember their rivalry with the New Day. And I remember even saying to you, like, these guys are so funny. They need to be allowed more time to speak and just basically be themselves. As we always say, the best stars are the guys who are themselves with the volume turned up. Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows are two of the funniest men in all of wrestling, never mind the WWE roster. Go and listen to their podcast with Chris Jericho. Go and listen to their podcast with Colt Cabana. They're hysterically good fun. They're marks for the business, but they're also completely shit-eating assholes about the way they talk to people. They're so good at everything they do. They're hilariously good fun. And seeing them with Finn Balor, it's something really great about watching any athlete or professional who enjoys what they do. It's the same when we go and watch football. You know, the best footballers to us are the ones who genuinely love playing football. I think back at all the great footballers, especially of our generation, players like Zola and Thierry Henry, you know, and even
Ronaldinho.
These are all players. Big smiles on their faces, world-class athletes. They love doing what they did more so than picking up the paycheck. And when I watch wrestling, there's something really magical about guys who just have fun. And when Finn Balor's sitting next to the club, you can see he's happy, he's having fun, he's with his friends. He's like, do you know what? I don't need to win every week. I need to have fun every week. And that's what he's doing here. There's comedy, there's shenanigans, but there's also world-class wrestling in the mix. And let's be honest, all six guys in the main event are, you know, some of the best wrestlers WWE has. This was a great match for great chemistry. Everybody worked well. They were brave enough to put them over. It doesn't matter that they won by shenanigans. That's the club's MO. Nobody cares about that. The reality is, it's a win. a big win. It gives them the marquee level. You know, can I just say, Carl Anderson's spinebuster in homage of the great Arn Anderson is immaculate. What a fantastic spinebuster. You know, the Magic Killers there, they've got so much going on. They really are supremely enjoyable. And you factor in the return of The Miz, you factor in Jason Jordan's, you know, blossoming character. I'm really starting to enjoy it. Do you know what? I said to you right before this podcast started, I find Jason Jordan to be unbelievably fucking irritating. And that is exactly why he's fucking fantastic, because that is his job. In the same way I hated Vicky Guerrero because she was infuriatingly irritating. And that's exactly the same with Jason Jordan. He's connected with that heat. It's like, okay, so let's ride with the heat. Let's go with what the fans think of it. They think I'm a douche. Okay, well, let's ramp up the douchiness. Let's fucking be full on levels of twat. And it works. It's funny. It's hilarious. But it's also all ticklingly irritating. It makes you want to grab him around the neck. So shut up, you piece of shit. You're literally a twat. And that's great. That's exactly how you're supposed to feel. And, you know, Roman Reigns actually with some good chops this week as well. Decent interaction on the microphone, decent interaction backstage with Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins. You know, there's plenty to go in here, and there's plenty to get your teeth into as well. And this is something that we can't say about Raw all the time, but it finally feels like there's loads of different directions to look and say, that's good, that's good. I enjoy that too. Excellent. I've got loads of stuff to look forward to instead of, oh, well, thank God there's a Miz promo on here because the rest of it's garbage. And that's exactly what I want from Raw. Multiple angles, multiple matches to look forward to. There's so many directions they can go in, and most of them look like they've got some level of quality on the horizon, even if you go with something a little less obvious, like maybe Jason Jordan turning on the other guys at the Shield, which is the most improbable angle, you know, considering the return of Dean Ambrose, which is still to come. So WWE set themselves up very nicely. We just hope that they don't do classic Raw fashion and dump everything, you know, at the last minute, or just kind of almost bottle what they're doing. I will reserve a small amount of judgment because I've seen what they can do with people like the Club and Balor, but the reality is they're so low in terms of their stock in this company, they can't really go anywhere but up. And this is a great way to propel them. So fingers crossed, this is going to end with some exciting highlights and some good title reigns, and hopefully we're going to get The Miz as the star of 2018. I think last year was truly the best year he's ever had. And to be named Rolling Stones Wrestler of the Year is a big fucking deal. Excuse me. I have no doubt that if they're not paying attention, then they fucking are now. And there's no reason why The Miz shouldn't be on top of this company at some point during this calendar year. The rest of Raw, I mean, you know what? We are, what, 3 weeks away from the Royal Rumble? We are 3 weeks out from arguably the most important match that WWE has had in terms of women's wrestling. And we were given a lot of very weak or filler content. I did enjoy Nia Jax jumping Asuka to a certain extent. I don't like the backstory behind it. It's just, she said something nasty about you. And then she just jumped her randomly. You know, we're making Nia Jax out to be a very moldable pawn in the game that is Asuka versus Alexa Bliss. I'm not sure I like that. I like the fact that she can think on her own two feet. I don't like this. There's almost a presentation here of big dumb giant who just goes and attacks people because she gets angry. This insinuation by WWE, which has frankly been going on for, what, 40 years, that if you're large and not necessarily the most agile, you know, oh, that plays into the fact you have a small brain, apparently, so you can be molded and, you know, manipulated to serve other people. That's not really my cup of tea. There was a throwaway match where Paige tapped out Sasha Banks, I believe.
No, it was Mandy and Sonya, wasn't it? I think.
Oh,
Paige
sorry.
Was just on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah, on my highlights, it was like, bang, and it was gone. I was like, okay. I don't know. I just feel really unfulfilled, and I feel like they've done a horrible job of, it's almost like, right, you got your Royal Rumble, Matt, so until then, you can all shut up and go back to doing, you know, pretty much nothing.
Nothing.
I just don't really care much for the women's side of things. And then the other most infuriating thing for me on Raw was watching the bar job out to Titus Worldwide. Not necessarily because I don't want other wrestlers to flourish, but at the expense of the spine of your tag team division the last year, at the expense of the hardest working guys in the company. I went on a rant, didn't I, over the last couple of weeks, basically. I've been saying the bar deserves some fucking respect, and it seems like somebody's listening and going, ha-ha, fuck you, sir, and going in completely the opposite direction. The only thing I can think of is maybe, once again, I believe it was Sheamus who took the pinfall as well. Maybe Sheamus is saying, look, I haven't got long left. I'm quite happy to put some guys over before we bow out. I'm pleased that they get their tag team title rematch on a pay-per-view, because I think that's important that they get given a platform. But to have them lose to Titus Worldwide, who are the perennial joke jobbers, along with Slater and Rhino, and then also to have Samoa Joe jobbing out Rhino, not really knowing what to do with him because they've now had to cut ties with the Roman Reigns rivalry. It's a tale of two halves for Raw. On one side, we're getting great use out of Balor and, you know, the club, and Jason Jordan's blossoming, and there's lots of great directions, and The Miz is back. But then on the other side of things, you've got Samoa Joe in limbo, who I assume is going to be in the rivalry with John Cena. Is he injured?
Apparently he's legit injured. I don't know how long he's out for, but apparently Joe's picked up an injury, so I'm not too sure if he's back for the Royal Rumble or not. Terrifying. Absolute travesty.
He hinted at a John Cena sort of collision at some point, which should be quite interesting. But yeah, overall, poor use on the other side with certain guys. Out of everything left of Raw, what do you pick from it?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, the part Titus Worldwide thing is baffling. I can understand them putting over maybe the Revival or, you know, tag teams that actually have purpose and a future. But Titus Worldwide really doesn't. It's not even a tag team, really. It's just, you know, it's Titus O'Neil supposed to be the advocate to all intents and purposes of Apollo Crews. Maybe, whatever. You had the sort of a Matt Hardy jobbing out Curtis Hawkins, I think it was, and then having a little standoff with Bray Wyatt where they laughed at each other for far too long. And it was okay, but again, it was a bit underwhelming. And as far as I'm concerned, what we're still seeing with Matt Hardy when he gets in the ring is he still looks a little bit stiff, not as in he's punching someone hard, but as in he looks like he may have arthritis. Like, his joints just look a bit Great Khali at this point, which is understandable with all the punishment that he's taken. But do more of the carny, do promos, do in-ring segments, get Jeff involved, even if he's not fit to do some of the carny performance stuff, and then let Jeff do the majority of the wrestling when he's back. I don't know, I'm not looking forward to the Matt Bray match, because I actually think it's going to be quite a poor wrestling match. There wasn't a huge amount else to kind of talk about. As you say, the women's stuff was pretty poor. Sonya actually, I thought, looked pretty badass in the match. She was probably the one that came out quite strong, but Mandy's still not great in the ring. I don't really know what's going on with Bayley, to be honest. She's lost direction and purpose over the last six months, probably a year. She's really kind of drifted and lost her way. Not necessarily through her fault, but through just some bad booking and some bad creative. And again, Sasha Banks, she just doesn't spark something in me in the way that maybe she has done previously, certainly in the way that she did in NXT. Again, she just seems a very, very watered down version of herself. Not just in terms of the character, which is a bit bland and a bit generic, but in terms of her actual wrestling quality and match quality as well. I think has never got close to what she was doing in NXT. A lot of people, you know, that's the same for a lot of people on the roster, male or female, but it's just very frustrating. It's more frustrating on the women's side because they need those good matches. Whereas with the men, that, you know, it's not judged quite as harshly. So yeah, it was, as you say, a story of two halves where you've got very frustrating, not quite sure what's going on, weird decisions that you would expect from the current WWE administration, and then the cream of the crop, if you like, the traditional top stars, Miz, Braun, Shield, Balor Club, absolutely brilliant. So it's, as you say, very much a tale of two halves. It's just a shame that in that bad half is the entire women's division and the bar.
Yeah, I just despair with certain booking decisions. I get that you want to push certain people. I get that you want to create some sort of clarity and parity across the roster. You know, it's nice to see Titus Worldwide at least being used, but not at the expense of the people that have held this company up for so long. It seems like hard work and loyalty to the brand basically leaves you in the shit. That's what they're sort of saying is, here's the guys who work hardest. We're going to have a nice steaming shell on them. I have no idea why they need to do certain things that they do, but they choose to anyway. The women's thing bugs me. It really does. Because it's not just, you know, hey, here's the women, you know, well, you know, there's the Enzo Amore stuff. There was, you know, I mean, in speaking of throwaway, yeah, the Enzo versus
men.
Yeah, what a fucking disappointment for a title match involving one of the best pure athletes you've got on the roster. You know, granted, he's not going to be able to work an incredible match with someone like Enzo Amore, who is, you know, an average wrestler at best, at his very best. But, you know, very disappointing. They seem more concerned with getting the Nia Jax angle over without really adding any extra sort of benefit to it other than her sort of coming in and checking on him. It pisses me off because right now we should be building people like Nia Jax as destroyers. Ladies and gentlemen, Nia Jax, like, that's probably what they were trying to do with the Asuka moment with her jumping
her.
But the reality is it's not done well. That's not done well. I don't come away from that segment thinking, Nia Jax is a boss. All I got was Nia Jax jumped Asuka because apparently she's offended about something that was allegedly said, but probably not because Alexa Bliss is stirring a pot. Because that's what Alexa Bliss does.
It's throwing this match away. Like we talked before when Asuka was coming in, that this should be like we're putting the undefeated streak of Asuka up against the big monster champion at the point. That's a WrestleMania main event in terms of the women. Where you sit there and go, how the hell is Asuka going to be able to overcome this absolute monstrous? And instead, we're going to get it as a throwaway match next week on Raw with no build, no feud, no rivalry. The streak is not going to end on random Raw the week before the 25th anniversary. So you're going to have Nia Jax jobbing out to Asuka. I mean, she's jobbed out to literally everyone else in the women's division over the course of the last 6 or 7 months. It's just so disappointing. It's so disappointing for Nia Jax.
Do you feel the concept of dream matches is lost on the women's division entirely? Like, these are great matches. These are marquee matchups, and they seem to just spunk them away.
It's the concept of booking. It's just the basic fundamentals of booking. They just do not rate Nia Jax. That's clear. They do not put her in high esteem. They've decided that it's more important to have a more human Nia Jax, hence the Enzo Amore thing, than it is to have the monster Nia Jax in the ring. And that is a big, big problem. I mean, even the stuff like the lack of continuity. So you've had the mixed match challenge stuff going on Facebook, which is not something we've really talked about on the podcast because it's a bit carny and a bit shit. But you've had Nia Jax running around saying, for my partner, I want Braun Strowman. Very understandable. But at no point is she then referenced Enzo Amore at all. Surely, this person who you seem to be kind of fancying in a relationship with or whatever the fuck's going on, surely that would be your number one pick, or at least your number two after Braun. But instead it's just a case of, well, I want someone of the same caliber, and she ends up with Apollo fucking Crews. And there's still no mention of Enzo Amore. I just find that lack of continuity across these two concepts of this involving all of the same people to be insane. It's just stupid. I hate shit like that. But yeah, they just don't.
Yeah.
I don't think they rate her, to be honest. They just don't really care about the Nia Jax or the, I don't know the right word, like the validity of her in it, you know, or the legitimacy of her as like this big absolute destroyer.
Yeah. Mishandling would probably be a very good word to describe a lot of the stuff we saw here. I'm just not a fan. I'm just simply not a fan. There's not really much else I can add to it. Raw overall, though, I did enjoy. I think they did some really good stuff here. Once again, it sort of failed to get to that four-star level where I think that I truly thought this was a great all-round Raw. But as an overall Raw, an excellent job in pushing a lot of people who frankly deserve to be pushed and making a good deal out of certain people that maybe people thought, you know, let's be honest, Jason Jordan a couple of months ago, people were thinking, oh my God, this is a dumpster fire. This is not working. And to his credit, I feel mainly thanks to him, he's turned this show around a lot, or he certainly turned at least his segments around. So overall, I thought Raw was enjoyable. Braun Strowman obviously helped with his hilariously carny lunacy. You know, we had some excellent use of the bar and the club. The main event was good. And the wrestling quantity overall was fairly good as well. Even in the matches that we were disappointed by, they at least told a reasonable story athletically. So overall, I'd say Raw was three genders on a Bollywood boy. Once again, flattering to deceive in certain departments, but overall, a good watch.
I thought you'd been a bit generous there. I'm going three genders. I thought it was a good, solid Raw. It had some very good moments, as you say, but it's the same story all the time of WWE, where they give you something good and then they literally give you something shit to follow up with. And I know you need peaks and troughs and you need comedy with your intensity, and I'm a big fan of all of that. Just WWE, for me at the moment, just aren't doing it well. It's not that the balance is wrong or anything. They're just not doing it that well. So it was a middle of the road, solid, three-gender Raw for me.
Rare they seem to be the more positive of the two when it comes to rings, but I do enjoy a bit of a difference. Shall we break down the interactions? We actually had some excellent interactions this week. Quite a lot of depth, quite a lot of interest. So let's throw it to our wonderful fans and see what they have in store for us. Let's go to the Twitter sphere. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your interactions in terms of awards. The polls, I believe, are now closed. But that doesn't mean that you can't still interact with us and let us know what you think. We'll be recording the show later this week, so check that out. Right, time for some Raw thoughts, starting with at It's Only Rachel. What has she got other than, holy cow, you should see the amount of questions she sent in for 100. Well, Raw thoughts, Jordan is so bleh, he's so annoying. It's kind of working. That's exactly what we were pointing out. It's annoying, it's, but that's the idea. That is the idea. And the fact that he's walking, that kind of sums it up, really. Braun is God. Yes, he is. Brock yelling for Paul in ambulance was a great added piece. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose it was. Not really much else I can say. I think Steve Neal is the battery has gone in his controller. He'll be back with us very soon, ladies and gentlemen. Either that or he's just waiting.
I'm here.
he's still alive. He's still alive, goddammit.
I'm still
say
here.
Say it, Gavis. Got a dumpster truck, goddammit. Balor is so comfortable on the mic. It's incredible what a bit of nerd killers can do for a man. I feel like Balor Club needs a badass theme song, though. Yeah, I'd like to see them all come out to the same... I can't come out to the club's music, to be honest, because it is kind of a cool sort of faction song anyway. There's no reason why if he's not wrestling on his own, he can't have his own music. But Miz Golden, as always, very succinct interactions from Rachel this week, but thank you nonetheless. Heel Nick Payne. Wow. Essay time, prepare yourself. Jason Jordan is brilliant. He's getting better week by week. He's so fucking cheesy and annoying. Balor Club just look happier together. Hope they get to have some fun with it. I hope as heels. I think they would work better as a heel faction. They're like the cool heels. Do you remember when the club were with AJ Styles for a little bit and it was beat up John Cena?
Yeah.
But they were clearly heels, but they're also highly entertaining. That's what I'm hoping we're getting from these guys. So far, it's been good. I like shit-eating, funny, obnoxious heels who are also like gang mentality attackers. That's what the club should be. That's what made the Bullet Club so fucking successful. Not a complaint, but why can't the women have one-on-ones? It would take up more of the 3 hours. I hope after the Women's Rumble, we'll get a few new storylines. I was hoping we'd get some storylines before the Women's Rumble, probably. Goldust and Cedric makes no sense whatsoever, but it's good. I don't know why, but I enjoyed the skit. Goldust, once again, providing hilarity without really any need to. He's quite good at creating something out of nothing, Goldust. He always has been. He's got a lot of depth to his comedic character and his comedic stylings. I appreciate that, but I'm not sure how long we can go with... him just kind of being backstage, pissing around with Cedric Alexander. I hope it's not going to lead to him turning on him, because that would just be a bit meh. Unless you want to try and use it as a device to get him into Raw and get him away from 205 Live entirely. Might be a good opening for him, but I don't see any long-term appeal to it.
I mean, at least Goldust is finding a way to stay relevant.
That's true. It's good that he's getting some use because he is funny and he's got a lot to offer. And like I say, I think at some point we should give him a little run and then just filter him back to, you know, developmental and have him working in a performance center, because I'm sorry if you can't get knowledge and joy out of someone like Goldust and some wealth of knowledge of the business, then frankly, I don't know what you're doing with your system down there. Kurt Hawkins' losing streak is amazing. 0-153. When he finally gets a win, it will be huge. It should be Lesnar. It has to be Lesnar. Can you imagine Taylor's reaction to that, LOL?
Incredible.
No. It's not going to happen. I would piss my pants if it did, but it's just no. You literally have more chance of CM Punk coming back with the Young Bucks, frankly.
The Mikey Whipwreck. Need to
get a room. Mikey Whipwreck. Bray and Matt need to get a room. That segment annoyed me. I didn't enjoy it at all. By the way, just them laughing at each other hysterically. I found it annoying and pointless.
It was pointless. Just, yeah.
Oh, by the way, Matt's new music. What a pile of shite that is.
I don't mind it. I was hoping they'd go more down the classical route.
Because the stuff in TNA was very good and very out there, and I feel like this just felt like CFO Dollar Sign had reached into his deep cornhole of disregarded themes and gone, here, have some of this one. It's going to need some improvement. I don't know. Maybe because it's not, you know... In TNA, Matt was kind of the spearhead. Now, I appreciate the reason that the Broken Hardys were right at the top of the card is because it's TNA and they're garbage. But at the same time, I feel like this is so low mid-card that I find it hard to have any emotional investment in what's going on. There's so much other stuff going on that interests me so much more that I find it very hard to, you know, pull the trigger and enjoy Broken Matt as much as I would probably want to if they... You know, if you stuck him on 205 Live, for instance, I'd probably be highly fascinated simply because there's nothing else going on. So I like the idea of Drew Kulak interfering with Woken Matt and getting some interactions on that level. I think they need to go more carny with it. It's just not carny enough. That's what made it great in TNA for me. It needs to be full carny. You either go all in with it or don't bother doing it at all. Or maybe, like you say, they're just stalling for time until Jeff gets back. Elias singing The Miz... Singing The Miz in was awesome. Bo and Axel competing to be the best Miz boy was hilarious. Highlight was Bo saying, it'll be hard to sleep without the photo. So funny.
That's class, isn't it?
Really was. Miz promo was class. Just perfect. Daddy's home. I love The Miz. So good to have him back. Anson name-dropping Tama Farley had my pants messier than an epileptic eating spaghetti. Fucking brilliant. And with Will Ospreay, an IWGP champion, versus Pete Dunne, a WWE champion this month, could 2018 see a crossover between NJPW and WWE? No. Because Vince McMahon will not share the stage with anyone. By the way, you've probably seen this, but Will Ospreay will be facing Pete Dunne in IPW in Milton Keynes the day before my birthday, no less. Go figure, I'm going to Lincoln that time. And,
it's on a fucking Wednesday. Very annoying.
Yes, not exactly.
If that was on a weekend, I'd be there.
I was going to say, you could fucking revisit home and I could hook up with you. We could go and watch fucking Pete Dunne versus Will Ospreay. I would just like to say I've seen that match 1,000 times, so all you marks freaking out about how special it is, it's not special as a match, it's special as an actual entity simply because of the titles involved. NJPW versus WWE? Really? I know. I like your optimism. Nick Payne's always very optimistic when it comes to the marking out moments, but that is just, I just don't see that ever.
It's never going to happen.
WWE doesn't need to share with anyone, so why would they bother? From a business standpoint, doesn't make any sense. From NJPW standpoint, it'd be tremendous, but I don't see it happening.
It wouldn't, because they'd destroy, WWE would destroy them. It would just fuck it, fuck NJPW right up.
Basically. Enzo took a beating and it was wonderful, LOL. It was alright. I thought it was a bit of a throwaway. Apollo and Titus pick up a win. That's weird. And fucking brilliant, if you ask me. Is anyone interested in this mixed match challenge? I'm probably going to watch, but is there a point to it? I think it's... I don't care, but maybe that's because they haven't put much hype into it. I do like these little videos. I must admit, I got a little bit of a smile and a bit of fun out of seeing Asuka and The Miz kind of marking out with each other. I thought that was quite cool.
Yeah,
if anything, cool. That for me is the most interesting thing Asuka has done since she's come up, for my money. I'm actually very excited to see them as a team. I'd be very, very disappointed if they didn't win, actually. Apollo and Titus, yeah, we've covered that. Heyman promos are good, but I'm so glad the attack happened. And then Braun, Paul Heyman sold it so well, as always. The way he was holding Brock's hand was so cute, LOL. Main event was good. Continuing Jordan's story, and nice win for Balor Club. And then Daddy's Home, great ending to a good Raw. LDR Jagman. Fucking hell, I'm dying of secondhand embarrassment, Jordan. Stop. Please. Dexter Christian comes in with a bang. You mark. Oops, there's the club. Now we have a fight. Fucking hell. Are they trying to make Jason as awkward as hell? That's kind of the idea. What is that intro? Matt, please don't tell me that was your choice. That entrance theme is shit. I have to agree with him. I thought it was shit.
It's like a weird... like, as if they sort of wanted to do something a bit TNA and then shit the bed.
Yeah.
No,
it needs more production.
It's better than coming out to just the Hardy Boys theme. At least it's something different, but, yeah, it's meh.
What disappoints me is how... what makes it funny is it didn't have production. It was shit production. That's what made it funny. Like, quick, get some extras to throw some pumpkins in from the side of the camera shot. Like, that kind of stuff's funny. And they've gone completely against, for me, the mantra of what made it so amazing. So, yeah, no, I'm just, I don't know. I just feel lackluster. I like Matt's moveset. Oh, look, it's a laugh-off. I did like his moveset. I did like the snap German suplex into a corner. I thought that was quite nice. But, yeah, of course, the other problem is it's Kurt Hawkins. It's, no. Elias is over, so friggin' smug heel bastard. Yeah? The Miz is back, and yes, we missed you, smug bastard. Oh no, they have gone full stalker. Bo Curtis, thank you, Miz. Okay. Some punctuation skills really do need to be handed out here.
Put in a really feel on. Like
go back to school, you lazy shit. Interesting. I complain to Hulu and I get cruiserweights. Enzo still needs to go away. Oh, Jeebus. The friggin' ref's faces are priceless as Enzo gets wrecked. Oof, there's another eye damaged and a count out. Fuck that. And more Carney bollocks. Stage set drop. Stage set drop. He's referring to Braun Strowman and Carney bollocks. Gotta say, Dexter Critchman, you could. Do you know what? Let's just go all in on this. Those were fucking terrible. If you're going to fucking send me interaction, sir, would you fucking mind punctuating yourself at some point? Because frankly, I think we've lost half of our listener base, and it's not that big to begin with. Next, please. At Kyle Rassel, dude. Oh, that's a bit fun. Raw has been 2 out of 2 good shows in 2018 so far. Amazing! Okay. Battle Club is the best thing going on Raw. Finn looks so happy with the boys. Interesting. Women's tag match was okay, I guess, but I can't even recall Bayley getting in there at all. I didn't really pay attention at all, to be honest. I didn't even know. I don't care about Matt Hardy anymore. His new music was nice, but beating Kurt Hawkins and then having a fucking laugh off with Wyatt was stupid as fuck. Fair enough. Yeah, if Steve's not as harsh on it, I must admit I am, so I kind of agree with that. The Miz is back, and he wants the IC title. Oh my God, yes, please. That promo was fire. The title doesn't make the champion makes the title, and Daddy's Home was the best line I've ever heard. Cruiserweight title match, didn't give a flying fuck. Fair enough. Titus Worldwide beat the bar. Let me say that again. Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews defeated Sheamus and Cesaro. What the fuck? Yeah. That was basically, do you know what? I almost fucking just thought, no, I'm done. Fuck this podcast, because I was so angry at that moment. Braun Strowman can get away with attempted murder on live TV and no one will do anything about it because he's a monster. What a segment, though. Wow. Yeah, this isn't the first time he's tried to murder someone on live TV. Although he's kind of owed one after Reigns literally tried to murder him. Also, you know, Team Miz tried to murder him as well at TLC. So he's kind of owed a few, actually. I want a live celebrated death on TV. R.I.P. Rhino got wrecked by Joe, who wants Cena in the Rumble, man. Cena, Joe at WrestleMania. All of the yes, take my money. I still think we're getting Cena Taker. Still think we're getting Cena Taker. Nia beat up Asuka, setting up a match next week. Meh. Battle Club went over to Shield 2.0. Thank God. I had a cheeky tweet that I sent to you last night, so please mention that too. The Miz Taraj decimated Roman. Woo! What is this about his cheeky tweet? Apparently, Carl Russell dude sent me a cheeky tweet. Well, there's only one way to find out. Let's access my Twitter and see. This would better be good, Carl Russell dude, because you are taking me away.
Leading this out. If this is shit, I'm be furious.
So what have we got here? We've got Steve Neal implying that I like a burly instructor at the gym. He's not exactly wrong. Let's see. Some rock gifts. I mean, he sent me a tweet yesterday saying, I'm partially triggered now. Consider my bonnet infested as well. Is that your cheeky tweet?
That was about NJPW, though, wasn't it? Something to do with Nakamura?
Yeah, based on my thoughts of Nakamura. So that looks like that's the only thing I've got other than... Oh, you know you got real friends when they're fully aware you'll buy a butt plug with a smart plug logo on it and the Milhouse gif. But that was sent 3 days ago.
Carl, have you been sliding into your DMs?
No, there's nothing in my DMs from Carl. There's just...
You lying shit!
To be honest, that was a fucking wild goose chase, and frankly, I'm very disappointed. Carl Wilkinson, when you listen back to this podcast, first of all, I'm going to stick that butt plug in your nostrils, one in each, just so you know, so you'll be lucky enough to have two. And also, I want a fucking explanation as to what tweet you're talking about, because that was a wild goose chase, and I'm not impressed. Not impressed whatsoever. What else did he have to say before I murder him? The Mr. Oz decimated Roman. Woo! Yes, he did. At Smiley Babby Boo, please bring us back from the brink. Oh, Monday Night Raw was actually good. We got the fucking dream match we always wanted. Banner Club versus The Shield, except WWE fucked that up by including Jason, my annoying black son, Jordan, as Dean's replacement. Good-ass match, but fuck Jason. Okay, fair enough. I don't agree. Well, I mean, you might want to fuck him. I certainly don't. He's just a little bit too boyish for me. I like my men to be a bit more rugged, if I'm being honest.
I prefer more of a brawn.
Yeah, I mean, Braun, frankly, I don't think my arsehole's ready for that, not since that gastric infection, but I think
if I'm
Luke Gallows, maybe.
I'm going to do it properly.
I think Luke Gallows is around. Yeah, Luke Gallows is like my entry-level big man, you know? I think he'd give me enough of a wrecking, but he'd still be... Gallows is the kind of guy, he's got plenty of humour, so I think he'd be quite tender with me in the bedroom afterwards. You know, there'd be plenty of nerd jokes. He might
make you laugh.
Out a box of nerds. Yeah, Finn Balor's like the beautiful, like, you know, he's... He's kind of like the seamstress, the seductress, the woman who's
he's in the mask with Cameron Diaz.
He's kind of, he's definitely out of my league. No question. I mean, fuck's sake, look at me compared to him. But he is kind of the dream. You know, if you want to punch above your weight, it is Finn Balor that you want to sit on. You know, well, I mean, Steve wants to sit on his face. I'd let Finn Balor sit on my face. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it really is. Anyway,
Someone like Kane would be, I think Kane would be a real disappointment as a big man.
Yeah.
It's like a wrinkly, custard filled
dick. Especially with all
that
latex.
Nothing anyway.
Like all that latex and PVC, I'm thinking that man's got to be able to back it up in terms of bondage. You know, and there he is fucking walking around like an overgrown potato in his little fucking mini smart car talking about being a mayor. I'm thinking, come on, man. They're supposed to be fucking, they're supposed to be leather and chains and fire, inferno matches, burnt teddy bears.
Exactly. You know? I'd expect candle wax dripped on me by Kane, minimum. Like, there'd have to be some form of fire play. If there's not, singe me.
Singe me. Oh, dear. And now we have a new name for the podcast. If you want to hear more discussion about who we think would be great lovers in WWE, please get at us with some questions. Did Sonya Deville really have her hair down just so she could say her stupid put your hair up and square up catchphrase 5 minutes into the match? Fucking stupid. Yes. Braun commits murder again. What else is new? Didn't know WWE keeps grappling hooks backstage. That'll be in the next simulation match. I do look forward to WWE 2K19 with the grappling hooks. That should be fucking amazing.
Full on Batman cracking out. Incredible stuff. Repelling from the rafters.
Samoa Joe buries talent in less than 5 minutes and sweats like he has been running for an hour. Hey, do not insult Samoa Joe. Yeah, he's allowed to be as sweaty as he likes. He is the master of this show. Vince, who the fuck said being the elite on my show? Giving me the fucking mic? No, give me the fucking mic. I'm firing someone tonight. Yeah, there was a lot of fucking bullet gun. Very brave. They just thought, fuck it, this might be our only opportunity. Let's throw it out there and wind somebody up because that's what they do best. Tyus O'Neil beating the bar. Clean? What year is this? Why would you bring them out? Where the fuck is the revival? That's a good question, actually. Where the fuck were the revival in all this? Matt Hardy, new music is simply delightful. No, it isn't. But goddamn, you could have changed the Hardy Boys graphics out while Jeff is still injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. Completely half-assed.
Mm. Yeah, like I say, you know, production issues all over the place. Terrible. Are we ever going to see Matt and Bray have a match, or are they just going to have a who has the creepiest laugh match until WrestleMania? It's getting old quick. That's the thing with me. I just feel like it's not going anywhere. This is my biggest problem. There's no direction at all, and there's no carny bollocks either. It just fails on all fronts for me. Felt bad for Enzo hurting his ankle during the match, but I'm highly upset Cedric didn't get the title. But after watching Straight to the Source with Enzo and Corey Graves, I want Enzo to get his cocky ass whooped. He needs his ass whooped, get robbed of all his precious shoes and money, and have Big Cass waiting for him with a punch to the jaw. Fucking annoying little gremlin. Oh, my Lord. You can always rely on smiling to bring back a bit of fire into this podcast. I love it. By the way, James Ellsworth, nicely done. Of course, the Miz attacks Roman Reigns. Predictable.
Yeah, that is predictable. About as predictable as you definitely allowing Ellsworth to slide into your DMs.
Oh, boy. This is going to get some fucking... This is really going to have some traction, isn't it? Terrifying.
Yep.
Asuka getting attacked by Nia made me hella excited. I'm thinking a winning streak will slowly be coming to an end.
No.
Not a chance. At I Love Klee 216. Rounding things off. A member of the PvP Elite and former champion. We start things off with my black son. Dun, dun, dun. Look, Daddy, look at me. I'm sitting at the Cool Kids table. These are my new friends, Seth and Roman. We even have a name for our club. It's called the Champions Club. Get it? Huh? Do you? Thank you for bringing back my black son for the week. We really need more of that every week. That is literally like Arthur Doom's calling card. It is tremendous work. Sir Arthur Doom, class. I've noticed. Also, he's from the Scottish Highlands, apparently, so... Yeah, make what you want of
amazing.
That. Brilliant. By way of Cleveland, Ohio, from the Scottish Highlands. Jesus Christ, the Miz. Man didn't miss a beat. Definitely made his presence felt with his promo. Haven't even watched ahead, and I'm sure this will be a highlight of Raw. No question it was, my friend. Tyus and Apollo got over on the bar, and somewhere in Lincoln City, Amir threw his remote for a television and destroyed every plate in his house. WWE owes my good brother a new television set and new plates. You bloody cunts! Fucking yes. You can tell he spends a lot of time talking to me. And frankly, that's a good thing. Yeah. Well done, sir. We are making you an honorary Brit with your superb use of the term bloody cunts. Also, no, I won't make the James Ellsworth reference just yet. Finally, some excitement with this Kane-Brock Strowman thing. All it took was Braun throwing up a hook like fucking Batman and committing murder with it. Yeah. Braun Strowman, mate, he's amazing. Brilliant finish to the show. The dominoes are getting stacked and excited to see how they fall with Miz, Taraj, the club, the Shield. And that rounds off our interactions. We had a lot of interactions, but so I guess it was kind of hit and miss this week. A bit like Raw, really, if we're being honest. But thank you nonetheless to everybody who bothered to send stuff in. We really appreciate it. And thanks once again to all the questions. Keep them coming. Hashtag SmartPlug100, which will be recorded this Thursday. So make sure you get your questions in before then, guys. And we will ensure that we answer as many as possible because we are really getting quite a hefty list now and we are loving it. Steve Neil, anything to add before we wrap up part one of Weekend Universe?
No, mate. Yeah. Thanks for the interactions. That is all I have to say.
Marvellous. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for getting involved in part one of Week in the Universe. We hope you enjoyed that. As always, check out all the social media links in the descriptions of the podcast, and check out our friends, of course, Mike Douglas with his Open Journal, and of course Taylor Talks, who is now starting to revive the YouTube material. So check that out as well. She's a good friend of ours, and she should be a good friend of yours too, so give her a follow. Make sure you check out all those links, of course, in the descriptions to find the friends that we are talking about. Steve Neal, thank you very much for joining us for part one of Week in the Universe.
Thank you for having me, as always, mate. Pleasure.
It genuinely has been an absolute pleasure, sir. From myself, Ramirez Nee, and from Steve Neal, we will catch you very soon for another podcast from the Smart Bug Galaxy. Until then, take it easy and be safe out there, gang.
Well, folks, we're all out of time. This is Johnny Gomez saying good fight, good night.